Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine actually asked me this question. We need to put this on our Twitter account. Blaine, I forgot to do it, and you had a great question a few weeks ago. And you said, I wonder who people would think got the best end of their trade. The Colts for Carson Wentz or the Titans for Julio Jones? That's a great question. I'll put that on the Blaine and Mickey Twitter account. Would love to have you guys interact with us there at Blaine and A-N-D Mickey. The Carson Wentz deal nationally seems to be getting a lot of people, not everywhere, but people seem to be giving that the benefit of the doubt more than the Titans seem to be getting with the rebuilt defense. Like every preview that I've read that says, well, the Colts are going to beat the Titans in the AFC South because the Titans defense is not any good. It's not even the same people. It's different people. So are you just going to say, yeah, Bud Dupree's not as good as, you know, half a season of Jadeveon Clowney and no show Vic Beasley? It can't be. That can't be true. It just can't be. You know, Jackrabbit Jenkins. And I know you got a bunch of young guys that you're going to have to rely on in the secondary. I get it. But we'll put that question up. Who got the best end of their trade? Is it the Colts for Wentz or the Titans for Julio Jones? May lean a little Titans heavy because you're Titans fans. But why don't we just start with this before we put it up on Twitter? We'll just ask David Beauclair, our buddy who joins us now at Beauclair Sports, covers the Titans for Sports Illustrated, one of the OG Titans reporters in town. So, David, if you just have to guess right now, who got the better end of a trade, the Colts for Carson Wentz or the Titans for Julio Jones? And I know this requires your crystal ball or your magic eight ball, but how do you guess early on?
You know, I would say early on, I mean, you acquire a player of Julio Jones' pedigree. It's tough to say that the Titans didn't make out really well. You know, Carson Wentz has played some good football, but there are, you know, there's questions about both of them, but the questions about Carson Wentz are pretty serious based on the last couple years. And I also look at it this way, like similar, it's similar to the Jadeveon Clowney signing last year in that, you know, it's a big deal. It's a guy with a huge reputation and a guy who has had memorable moments. The difference is that, you know, Clowney, when they signed him, it felt like a luxury. They, you know, they had already signed Vic Beasley. They had Harold Landry. They had re-signed Kamele Correa. You know, it seemed like, you know, adding Jadeveon Clowney was just, you know, icing on the cake. Whereas now none of those things worked out for the Titans, obviously, except for Harold Landry had another decent season. But at the time, that's what it felt like. With Julio Jones, this was a necessity. You know, this, if you looked at this wide receiver group 2 weeks ago, you were going, it's not good enough. I mean, it's just not good enough. And now you're talking about A.J. Brown and Julio Jones in the same breath as Mike Evans and Chris Godwin or Lockett and Metcalf up in Seattle, you know, like the best wide receiver combos in the league. So at least as we sit here in the middle of June, I think you absolutely have to say the Titans have made out better.
I didn't have this written down in my questions today for you, but you mentioned Kamele Correa. What an interesting odyssey that young fella has been on, because he had become a contributor for this team, winds up asking for his release. I guess he's been cut off two teams, what, the Jags and the Chiefs, since he was last a Titan. But the irony of it all, Bokey, they really could have and would have used him down the stretch last year. They would have had to have used him.
Yeah, and it would have been similar to what happened in 2019, where he was, you know, he was sort of a role player early in the year, and then as the year went on, you know, got more and more snaps, got more opportunities, and really made the most of those opportunities. You know, had a stretch of four straight games with a sack, had a couple sacks in the playoff run. You know, really looked like a guy who, you know, was on the ascent in his career, and then. You know, they signed Clowney. He was the guy, sort of the odd man out, and lost playing time and decided, oh, you know, I'm done with this. Please trade me. They trade him to Jacksonville. He doesn't even finish the season with Jacksonville in mid-December. He leaves that team because he, you know, for some personal reasons. And what has gone on with that guy over the last 9 months or whatever it is certainly nothing I saw coming. And, you know, I'm curious to, I hope he sits down and gives a revealing interview to somebody at some point, because I'd be really interested to hear what he has to say about how things have gone for him.
Well, we hope he gives it to you, David Beauclair at Beauclair Sports. Read great Titans content always from David right there on Twitter. Just click on any of it anytime.
Well, Bokey, man, thanks for coming on. And I guess first for me, from what you've seen so far from minicamp, and from what you can get, you know, out of it with all the veterans and even the young players, you know, give us, I guess, your observation of what you've seen and maybe who stood out. I know they just have on shorts and everything else. Who's looked good and who just looked okay at this point in time, knowing that we have a long way to go, as well as, you know, add some, developmental type players that could eventually make the practice squad.
Yeah, you know, one thing that's really stood out to me, Blaine, and as a former defensive back, you'll appreciate this. Jack Rabbit Jenkins is a guy, just blew me away yesterday, for example. You know, a 9-year vet who's 32 years old. You know, he's got plenty of skins on the wall. That son of a gun was competing in yesterday's workout as hard as I've ever seen anybody competing in a mini camp in a long time. And, you know, I the last 10 or 15 years in particular with this team, I have seen, I don't know how many defensive backs who will, you know, they'll break on the ball, take a step or two, and then pull up and be like, yeah, okay, see, I'll make that play in the game. Or and you know, that's always kind of confounded me, but that was not the case with Jenkins yesterday. He was laying out to break up passes. He was bumping it, you know, bumping wide receivers hard, going shoulder to shoulder to get in there to break them up. He bit hard on a double move against Cam Batson at one point and got beat. But, you know, the fact that he got beat so badly because he bit on the first move tells you how hard he was going. So that was the one thing that really, really stood out to me yesterday. The other thing, and it's kind of goes the other way. You know, Derrick Henry on a running play stepped on somebody's ankle or stepped on somebody's foot and sort of twisted his ankle a little bit. Just had to walk it off. You know, never spent a moment with the trainer. It wasn't a huge deal. Didn't even miss a rep in that particular period. But it was, you know, there was just this moment of, oh my goodness, you know, the Titans are that close to having this offense changed completely this season. If that happens in a game and it's a little bit worse, but those were two things that really, really stood out to me yesterday. You know, among young guys, there's this fullback out of LSU, Tony Carter, who you kind of, you know, he's big body and, you know, seems like he should be a good special teams player. I'm thinking that might turn into an interesting little under the radar competition during training camp between him and Kari Blasingame. That's a guy I'm gonna try and keep an eye on. And of course the offensive line, how they're using those guys. You know, Dylan Radins, they're moving all over the place. David Quesenberry getting a lot of work at left tackle with Taylor Lewan still working on rehab. And I think, you know, Quesenberry to me just looks like a different sort of guy, having gotten playing experience last year, finally, than what we've seen, than what he looked like in the past. You can just see sort of his body language and, you know, the way he carries himself. He just looks like a different guy right now.
Well, with David Beauclair, publisher and producer of SI.com, I guess one more for me. Where does it look lean on depth? And I'm really kind of looking at the pass rushers. And you just said Derrick Henry, and what if he slipped up? Who's going to be, besides Evans, Darrington Evans, who else is kind of going to be fulfilling that role if Henry goes down? You got to look forward to, hey, man, who's another power back?
Yeah, you know, Brian Hill, the guy they signed, who's been a couple years in Atlanta, he's a bigger body too. I mean, he's not Derrick Henry big, of course, but but he certainly looks like a guy I would think probably right now Jeremy McNichols is a guy without a roster spot once again, because Hill looks to me like more of a something of a reasonable facsimile for what the Titans would want to do on offense if they were to be without Derrick Henry for a little bit. Tight end, obviously, there's you've got Jeff Swaim, who's your blocker, you've got Anthony Firkser, who's your pass catcher, and then you've got a bunch of guys just trying to figure out who's who and what they can get in terms of roster spot and playing time. So that's where I think they're the thinnest right now, is at tight end.
Oh, so they look pretty good at pass rush. I know Bud Dupree's not out there practicing.
That's another one. I spent more time kind of watching what was going on with the defensive line yesterday than the guys on the outside. But they certainly have to be better there this year. There's no question. And Derek Roberson was a guy getting a lot of work, and he's another one looked confident to me. Like I saw him a couple times after a play. You know, it wasn't going to a coach and saying, hey, what just happened here? You know, explain this to me. Did I do something wrong? It was sort of, hey, this is what I saw. This is what I was doing. You know, a guy who's had 2 years in the system now looks like he has a much better feel and understands what kind of opportunity there is for him right now, too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. We're on with David Beauclair with thatside.com. Really, one more real quick, and that is, I don't know the answer to this, and I don't know if you do, is what is the, I guess, COVID policy for the NFL players for 2021? I just see a lot of different players from all across the NFL getting that question on if they're vaccinated or not. I just wanted to know what is the policy or what how are they going to go about that, the NFL, and making sure that everybody is tested appropriately?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the league and the Players Association are still negotiating all of that, from how what you do with guys who aren't vaccinated versus guys who are, how the buildings will be set up if you're required to have all the distance that you had last year, what are media sessions going to be like during the week and after the game, all that stuff apparently is still being negotiated. I guess the goal is to get some sort of hard and fast policies into place by the start of training camp. But my guess is it'll be sort of like last year, they'll have some things in place and then they'll adjust as need be based on whatever's going on.
Okay. We're on with David Beauclair, publisher and producer of SI.com.
So Boki, the Titans have a wrestler and a basketball player, quite a decorated, both of them very decorated at their other fields in camp. Curious to get your thoughts, what little you may have seen of those two guys. And here's the other thing. Obviously, you've covered the team since it got here. I can think of guys like, I thought of his name, Marcus Randall, who was a quarterback at LSU. Then he came here and played safety and played in a couple of games in the 1 year he was a Titan. But I don't remember like dude who did something else completely and then came here. Maybe there was a basketball player from USC or something. I don't know. Do you remember anybody else?
Yeah, the first guy who came to mind for me was Larry Brown, who played basketball and football at Georgia. Was pretty good at both. Wasn't great at either, but I remember people talking about him as a basketball player when he was here, when he first got here, and I remember being surprised. They're like, oh, okay, this guy actually had a pretty good football career too. Beyond that, Mickey, I don't have a recollection. You know, Adam Kuhn, the wrestler that you referenced, it's funny. Like you see the pictures of him in the wrestling singlet and you're going, man, that's a massive human being. And then you see him out here in a helmet and shells and whatnot among the other offensive linemen. And he's just another big guy, you know, like and not even the biggest of the bunch. It's funny. Right. You forget how big these guys are. You take for granted, I guess, sometimes how big these guys are. So he's obviously got a lot to do. Hassan French, the tight end out of St. Louis, had a couple of moments yesterday where you go, yeah, that's a basketball player trying to play football. but he's different in terms of you put him with the other tight ends and he is big and he stands out that way. When he gets a little more comfortable over his feet in terms of running routes and things, I think he'll have a chance to impress just because he looks like a real smooth, good athletic motion kind of guy. Probably can eat up a lot of ground with very few strides.
You mentioned in a couple of other answers talking about the offensive line, how how much of a competition is there going to be at right tackle? And do you see a scenario with Dylan Radins starting the season maybe, or maybe do you think it's like game five or six and then they ease him in?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think we all want to think there's a competition there because it's always fun to sort of try and keep score on those sorts of things. But the fact that coaches have talked about they're moving Radins around, they're playing him some at guard, they're playing him some at tackle now, they're trying to get him a sense for a number of different positions. That suggests to me that they don't have him on the fast track to be the week one starter at that position. But if I was a gambling man, if you made me put money down right now, I would say Kendall Lamb is the heavy favorite to be the starter at that position. But it's one of those things like, don't get hurt, because if you get hurt in week five and you're going to miss 3 weeks or whatever it is, you're not going to get that job back. That's when they're going to plug Radins in and they're going to go. So I think it's probably Lamb's job as long as he stays healthy and reasonably productive. And if Radins has to wait till next year, I think they're okay with that.
Breaking down some Titans talk with David Beauclair at Beauclair Sports, Sports Illustrated, right here on Blaine and Mickey.
Man, Bokey, it seems like there's a lot of excitement. I know a lot of that has to do with Julio Jones, but man, do you feel the excitement there? And when was the last time you felt this kind of excitement at practice with the Titans?
That's a really good question, Blaine. I took a look back. I did a piece a week or so ago looking back at, other times this team has brought in really prominent wide receivers, from Carl Pickens in 2000 to Eric Moulds and Andre Johnson. And, of course, they got Randy Moss off waivers in 2010. And, maybe Moss is the closest thing, where you go, wow, can you believe a guy like this is on this team? But everybody's hoping this works out a hell of a lot better than the Randy Moss acquisition did then. But that's kind of the closest thing I guess I can remember, because I can remember back, it would have been 2007, 2008. I worked with a guy who was a huge Alabama fan. And I remember even then, the summer before his freshman year, this guy kept talking about this kid, Julio Jones, Julio Jones, Julio Jones all the time. I'm like, He's just a freshman at Alabama. Like, calm down, But he showed up there and he was great. He showed up in the NFL. He was great. He sort of has that X factor too. That there's just something. You're like, everything feels like it's just better right now with Julio Jones around.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's stick with the receivers, I guess. Lastly, for me, Bokey, is how many receivers you think they keep? Because, man, it seems like all of a sudden I can count five or six guys automatically right now they could keep. I mean, how many guys do you think they'll keep on the roster?
It's a really good question. The number has been four, five, or six. It's somewhere in there. It's the sweet spot. Certainly A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds are 1, 2, 3. You assume Cameron Batson is probably the fourth, and then you've got a whole bunch of guys to try and sort it out. From
two rookie receivers, Marcus Johnson,
and Dez Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath. Exactly, like with McMath, I almost look at him as he's not competing with the other wide receivers right now. Given his college background and how little he actually got to play wide receiver, he more likely has to beat out a cornerback or a linebacker or somebody for a special teams role at the start and sort of develop into a wide receiver from there. I mean, there's plenty of options, but I would say, those five in terms of Brown, Jones, Reynolds, Batson, and Dez Fitzpatrick, they clearly, you trade up what, 16 spots or whatever it was to get him. Clearly you want him on your team, and he's going to have to be a colossal failure in the preseason for him not to make it. So, everybody else from there, it's show us what you got. Maybe if somebody gets hurt, you can get a spot kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Bokey, great stuff, man. We appreciate you taking some time out to join us today. Again, all the stuff we talked about, you've written a bunch of about a lot of it at Beauclair Sports, again, covering the Titans for Sports Illustrated. Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Thank you, Bokey.
David Beauclair right there, OG in this market. All right, the question's out there. Who got the better end of the trade? The AFC South, Colts for Carson Wentz, Titans for Julio Jones. You can hit it on Blaine and Mickey. You can call us 615-737-1045. We'll update that when we come back. Also, got to give away some Judas Priest tickets, right, Lucas? We'll do that next. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone.